Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to read from verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. And here he says in an NIV version, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." Hold on to them words. "Where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them." Okay, there's two kind of people there, two groups. One group they're worshipping, another group they're doubting, okay? But Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Okay, Jesus says, "It has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Alright? "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." Everyone say Father. "And of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Let's say that again. "Of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." For us to be able to teach others to obey, we need to obey. Amen? We need to obey. It starts from us, then others. "And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." To the very end of the age. Alright? And I firmly believe for us to be able to go, we need to prepare ourselves to go. You cannot just go. We need to prepare ourselves to go. And that's what we say, are you prepared to go? Because without preparation, you can't go. So there has to be something within you that pushes you to go. There has to be something within you that tells you to go. There has to be something within you, a hunger within you, a drive within you that pushes you to go, that pushes you to move forward, that pushes you to make disciples, that pushes you to teach the Word of God, that pushes you to preach the Word of God, that pushes you to forgive people even though you don't want to forgive them, that pushes you to talk to people even though you don't want to talk to them. There's something within us that tells us, listen man, you know the love of Christ. You know what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's why go and tell them as well. That's why go and share the gospel to them as well. There's been times, I'm sure, where you're so tired, but there's something within you that's telling you, come on man, don't fall back, but press forward and share the gospel. Do something about it. Do it. And the scripture says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." Right? Where Jesus had told them to go. And hence the question comes, are we going the direction where Jesus wants us to go? Are we going towards the direction where Jesus wants us to go? Are we following the Spirit? Are we following our instinct? Or are we following our knowledge? Or are we following our ways? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Jesus said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Let me say that again. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And the word key, I've come up with three things. I like to call it K, know your call. E, embrace godly values. Y, yearn to learn. Let me repeat myself again. K, know that you are called. E, embrace godly values. Y, yearn to learn. I firmly believe these 11 disciples, they knew that they were called. There were 12 disciples, but one left the group, and there was 11 disciples, and they knew that they were called. That's where the scripture said, reminds us that they went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Alright? So in other words, they knew that they were called. And this afternoon, church, I want to remind us all that we are called. We are called, first and foremost, to worship God. We are called, first and foremost, to be in relationship with God. So many times, we perform well rather than live well. So many times, we perform well rather than worship well. But I believe God sees our heart. He sees our hearts this afternoon, and the question is this: are we worshipping Jesus to look good in front of others, or are we worshipping Jesus because we are grateful and thankful for what He's done in our lives? That is a challenging question. Personally for me, when I'm worshipping Jesus, am I lifting up my hands to look holy, to look righteous, or am I lifting up my hands because there is this gratefulness within me that is overflowing? If there is gratefulness overflowing in your life, your hands will go up. That is the result of overflowing gratefulness of your heart. Your hands go up in worship. God's will for us is to worship Him and is to serve Him. Two things: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and also love your neighbors. So there's two great commandments involved there: love God, love your neighbors. So our first thing, what's God's will for my life? God's will for my life is to worship Him. God's will for your life is to worship Him. What's God's calling in your life? God's calling in your life is to love God and to love your neighbors. In other words, to serve God and to serve your community, serve your neighbor. Amen. That's why we need to understand that we are called. We are called. We're bringing all different excuses. No. No. If there's a yearning desire within you to serve God, you will make a way. And when you make a way for God to move, God will make a way for you. Amen? We say God make a move. God has already made His move. And His move is the Word of God. God is telling us, come on, it's time to go. It's time to go. Come on, it's time to serve. You need to understand that you are served. If the 11 disciples wouldn't have gone to the mountain in Galilee, you know, we wouldn't have the scripture with us this afternoon. But the fact that they went, even though there were some people within the group that were doubting, they still went. And you might be in a situation where you think, God, is this really going to happen? God, is that really going to happen? It's irrelevant. Whatever is happening in our hearts is irrelevant. We need to move. We need to keep moving on. We need to keep pressing on. Some days I don't feel like worshipping, but does that stop me from worshipping? No. Some days you will not feel like worshipping, but does that mean that you stop worshipping? No, church. We never stop worshipping. There are days that we don't want to serve. We don't feel like serving, but does that make us stop serving? No. We are here because we know that we are called and we are His church, and that's why we are called. Amen. We are His church. We are God's church. He has called us. He has called us, church. He has called us. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep moving forward. Whatever you're going through this afternoon, whatever you're facing, whatever mountains that you're facing this afternoon, don't focus on the mountain. Focus on God. Focus on God this afternoon. Come on, let's focus on God. Because whatever the mountains that we're surrounded with at the moment, mountains are big mountains, but our God is bigger. Our God is bigger, amen? And no mountain is greater than God. Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Church, we are called. We are called. We need to know that we are called. K, we need to know that we are called. E, embrace godly values. Church, we need to embrace some godly values. There are people out there and they're looking at us. Before even we preach the gospel to them, they see our actions. And if our actions aren't displaying godly values, they won't want to listen to us. They won't want to listen to us. And that's very challenging. It's very tough. But that's the truth. A lot of people came running to Jesus because they saw Jesus performing miracles. Jesus preached the gospel, but what won them over was when Jesus performed the miracles. The way Jesus was with the sinners. All of a sudden, they were like, hold on, we've never seen anything like this before. We've had a lot of teachers, we've had a lot of Pharisees, we've had a lot of Sadducees come and speak to us and come and teach to us, but we've never seen any teacher sit down with the sinners and dine with the sinners. This was something that they've never seen before. And in every people's mouth were the same statement: we have never seen anything like this before. We see a lot of people wanting change, but nobody's willing to change. There's a difference between wanting and willing. Wanting is all of us, we want something, but we need to be willing to have that want, amen? We need to be willing to see that change happening. And church, I believe God's challenging us. Listen, we all want. But are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? To me, that is a challenge. I want to see something happening in him. But God's telling me, Daniel, you want this, but are you willing? Are you willing to sacrifice this? Are you willing to sacrifice that? Are you willing to stop and speak to this person, even though you don't want to stop and speak to this person? Daniel, are you willing to serve, even though when you don't feel like serving? Daniel, are you willing to preach to this person, even when you don't feel like preaching? Come on, church, are you with me this afternoon? This is the message of the Lord. This is the message of the Lord. We need to embrace godly values. What makes us different? What makes the godly people different? Here are some of the things I've written down. And personally, for me, like I challenge myself on these things. First thing is this: I believe God wants us to be men and women of integrity. Men and women of integrity. That's one of the godly values. He wants us to do what is right. He wants us to live and work with excellence. He wants us to give our 100%. He wants us to be men and women of integrity. Second thing is this: He wants us to be men and women of compassion. We need compassionate believers. We need compassionate Jesus lovers. We need compassionate Jesus followers, embracing hope, love, and reconciliation. We are the ones who will be reconciling these people to Jesus. We are the ones who will be reconciling the people of Doncaster to Jesus. That is our call, and we need to embrace that godly value. I believe God wants us to have vision. The third thing is vision. He wants us to be men and women of integrity. He wants us to be men and women of compassion. He wants us to be men and women of vision. God had a vision. He had a vision. And that's why there was boom, earth. And that's where boom, there was Adam and Eve. Boom, that's where there was Jesus. Because he saw the future. And for us, we need to have a vision, church. We need to have a vision. We might be here, we might think, hold on, what is happening? What is going on? Why is this? Why is that? But church, if there is a vision, I tell you, when there is a vision, nothing will stop you, amen? When there's a vision, nothing will tell you to, nothing can pull you down, because your vision is greater than your emotions, amen? Because your dream is greater than what you're going through right now. I tell you, like, we sit down, Andrew, myself, Grace, and everyone, we sit down and we talk about things throughout the week, and there's this great vision within us, and we're like, whatever we're going through, we have our little chats, don't we? We have a little chat, we sit down, but whatever we're going through, we keep pressing on, amen? We keep pressing on, because don't let feelings rule over your vision. Don't let feelings rule over your vision. Let the godly vision rule over your feelings, amen? Let the godly vision rule over your feelings. Your vision is always to do with others, not to do with you. My vision is never to do with me. My vision is to do with others. Everybody has their own vision. But at the end, all of our vision should complement one another to glorify Jesus. That is the ultimate goal of our vision, to glorify Jesus. And if it's not glorifying Jesus, then you need to ask yourself, hold on, is this God's vision or is this something of my own self-seeking vision? Fourth thing is this: I believe God called us to be men and women with a servant heart. With a servant heart. We've got integrity, we've got compassion, we've got vision, now we've got servant heart. We've got servant heart. We need to serve. Everybody wants to be elevated, everybody wants to be praised, but we need to think differently now. Jesus himself gave this great example to each and every one of us. I did not come to be served, but to serve. We should be following that example, amen? We should be implementing that very value in our lives as well, that we put others before self. And that's tough. I exist to bring glory to God. I don't exist for myself. And that is a tough statement to make. I don't exist for myself. I don't exist for my own gains. I exist to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. And lastly, I believe God's calling us to become men and women of faith. Believe in God for the impossible. Yeah. Believe in God for the impossible. And faith should be the foundation of everything that we do. Faith should be the ultimate foundation of everything that we do. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to move forward. Without faith, it is impossible to do the things that we're doing at the moment. It's all faith. If we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, it all crumbling down, because it's, we have no capacity, we have no ability to make things happen. It's all God. It's all God. The fact that we're here sitting in this church, in Insect, it's God. 25 years ago, this wouldn't have happened. It was God. About 19, 20 years ago, a word of prophecy was given to Andrew and Grace. And this is the fulfillment of that same prophecy 2019 years later. Amen. This is faith. This is faith. This is faith coming to fulfillment. It's the promise of God coming to fulfillment. And I've seen a lot of people walk away from that promise because of their impatient heart. And it's tough when God promises you something and when it does not happen. 1 year, you're like, yes, God, I'm still believing. 2 years, God, I'm still believing. 3 years, God, I'm still believing. 4 years, God, I'm beginning to, you know, I'm not too sure. 50th, Lord, what is happening? And before you know it, if we don't check our faith, yeah, we need to check our faith. Where is your faith? How is your faith level this afternoon? How is my faith level this afternoon? Where? Because the scripture is there. They worshipped him and some doubted. Then I hold on, man. You know, they all worshipped, they saw Jesus, they all worshipped him, and some doubted him. So in a sense, there were two groups of people, one with high level of faith, another with not so high level of faith. And that's why that tells us something. You need to check your faith level. If your faith level is running low, then surround yourself with people who will help you increase your faith level. Amen. The more we drift away, the more our faith level is going to run on an empty tank. Yeah, that's why we need to surround ourselves with people who will increase the faith level within us, that will help us. Because sometimes, like, I can't see things clearly, you know. And when I can't see things clearly, I need someone to help me to see things clearly. Jesus is there, God is there, but the church is there, amen. And that's what we talk to people in church. That's what we speak to leaders in the church. That's what we come together, because the things I don't see, you guys see. And perhaps the things that you don't guys see, there are some things that I might see. And that's how it works. We complement one another. We help one another. Do you know, especially this time of year, when you're driving car, and like, especially when your windscreen are frozen and stuff, and you're there trying to heat up your windscreen, you know, and it takes a while. And when it's all kind of slowly clearing up, there are some the condensation type things on your windscreen, and you can't see clearly. Especially like when I take Lisa to work in the morning, it's tough, you know. And my car's AC system is not brilliant. It takes a while. It takes some time, let's say. You know, I've seen my dad's car. You flick a button and boom, it's done. With my car, you flick a button and you wait like 2-3 minutes, then it's done. You know, I've got one of them cars. You know, my car teaches me patience. All right, so I'm there, like, you know, waiting for it to kind of demist and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes I just drive, and my wife's like, can you see the road? I'm like, I can't see the road, but I've drove this road before, so we're okay. And it's not good to do that. So what we do is we stop, alright? And we clear the windscreen with a towel, with a cloth or something. Okay, and so many of us, right, we're so in the rush of getting to the destination that we're driving with, yeah, clouded vision. We're driving with condensed windscreen, and we can't see where we're going. What's happening? You know? And that's why it's always good to stop and ask someone, can you see more clear than me? Can you help me? When I was driving the car, I had to stop it. So my wife took the cloth and she wiped it for me. Yes. And that's why sometimes we need to stop and we need to go to someone and say, I'm struggling. I can't see this clearly. Can you help me, please? Amen? Can you help me, please? Because we can be so rushing to get to a destination and forget about the journey. Forget about the road that we are in at the moment. And that's why I firmly believe that God wants us to embrace godly values and godly principles. He wants us to be men and women of integrity. He wants us to be men and women of compassion. Come on, we need to be compassionate. The scripture says Jesus was compassionate. Jesus wept. And he wept. He saw people hurting. He wept. Nehemiah wept as well because he was full of compassion. And when you are full of compassion, you pray for people, you weep for people, you cry for people. Why? Because you want to see change in that person's life. You want to see change in that family's life. You want to see change in that community. That's where we need to be, men and women of compassion. We need to be men and women of vision. Without vision, people perish. Don't let your feelings ruin your vision. Don't let your feelings overrule your vision. Rather, let your vision overrule your feelings. Amen. We need to be men and women of servant heart. Come on, let's be willing to serve. It's not about us. It is not about us. We're here for the community. We're all gathered here for the community, aren't we? We want to see change happening in this community. We want to see change happening in people's lives in this community. And when we put others before ourselves, God blesses us. God rewards us. Amen? Because in our hearts, it's not about us. When you begin to elevate yourself, your life will come crumbling down. But when you put others first, your life will be elevated because it is God who's elevating you. Amen? It's God who's elevating you and me. And we need to live a life of faith. Be a man and woman of faith. And why? So we've got K. Okay, what was K? Know that we're called. We are called to church. Okay, I don't know. What season are you in at the moment? I don't know how you're feeling at this moment. Okay, but I want you to know that we are called. We are called. So when you see yourself in the mirror tomorrow morning, declare this to yourself. I know I'm called. I know I'm called. I know I'm called. Number two, I'm going to embrace the godly values in my life. I'm going to embrace godly values. Lastly, number three, yearn to learn. Yearn to learn. The fact that these disciples went where Jesus told them to be shows that there was this yearning desire within them to learn. Okay, the fact that they're there gave the opportunity, Jesus had the opportunity to teach them. Okay, before he was ascended to heaven. So our biggest thing is this: regardless of how we're feeling, we need to turn up. We need to turn up. Church meeting, we need to turn up. We need to show up. Even though we're having one of the greatest battles that we're going through, we need to show up. If you show up, you've won the battle. You have won the battle. I don't feel like this. You show up, you have won the battle. Amen. You have won the battle. And that's what that was the thing with these disciples. They showed up. They won the battle. Because they showed up, they got one of the greatest commissions ever. Therefore, go and make disciples. Goodness me, can you imagine that? Jesus himself saying, therefore, go and make disciples. Wow. His final teaching before he was ascended to heaven. Wow, that was a powerful teaching, huh? That was a powerful teaching. And they received that teaching because they showed up. They received that teaching that because of, regardless of whatever they were going through, they showed up. Even though they doubted, they showed up. And that is the thing. Even when we doubt, we need to show up, church. We need to show up. Either you believe or not, you need to show up. Either you believe it or not, you still pray. Either you believe it or not, you still worship and see how God turns your doubt into faith. Amen? It's powerful stuff. Stay hungry and stay humble. Hungry, stay hungry for the things of God. Don't ever be full. No, I'm never full. You know, even though I feel like I'm full, but I'd like to think I'm never full. Because when I'm never full, I will keep on chasing. I will keep on seeking the truth. I will keep on feeding myself the truth. The moment we say I'm full, that's it. Then we'll be complacent and we'll just sit where we are. But we need to stay hungry. But it's not good to stay hungry with bad attitude. We need to stay hungry and we need to stay humble. Stay hungry being humble. That's one of my life principles. And I'm hungry, that's why I read my word. I'm hungry, that's why I pray to God. God, I'm hungry, that's why I do the things I do. Even though I don't want to do it sometimes, I still do it because I'm hungry. And the reason I want to stay humble is because I don't want to let my pride stop me from learning. I don't want to let my ego push me away from the things of God. I don't want my pride to get in the middle of what God wants to do. I want myself to be an open vessel where I say to God, God, I'm hungry and I want to stay humble. Amen. What are you doing today that's helping you in terms of your faith? What are you doing today that's helping you to get fresh revelation? What are you doing today that's increasing your faith level? Are you running on empty tank? Are you running on a full tank? Are you running on an empty tank? Or are you running on a full tank? What book are you reading that's increasing your faith level? What chapter of the Bible are you reading that's increasing your faith level? Because good leaders are always intentional about their growth. Good leaders are always intentional about their development. Okay? And that's when it comes to yearning to learn. We need to yearn to learn, guys. For me, I'm always yearning to learn. I'm like, God, I listen to lots of sermons. I read a lot of books. I read my Bible. And I always love listening to other speakers because, it's fresh revelation. I always love listening to other people's testimonies. I always love listening to other people's sermons and how God's moving in different churches and different places because that increases my faith. And I've done with leading from empty tank. You know, when you lead from empty tank, like, you haven't got fresh things to give out. You always give out the same thing. You know, and that's why it's always important for us to keep seeking. That's why it's always important for us to keep learning. That's why, guys, I want for us to hold on to this very same principle as well that I've been holding on to. Stay humble and stay hungry. Stay hungry and stay humble. Stay hungry and stay humble. Let me go back again. So three things we see from this scripture. First thing is this. Know that you're called. These disciples knew that they were called. That's why they were there. Okay, and church, this afternoon we need to know that we are called. We are called. Second thing, we need to embrace godly values. Please, please embrace godly values. When you're out there and when you're mingling with people, let them see God in you. Let them see God in you. Let them come up to you and ask you questions. What is so different about you? What is so different about you? Be a man and woman of integrity. Be a man and woman of compassion. Be a man and woman of vision. Be a man and woman of servant heart. Be a man and woman of faith. And last but not the least, yearn to learn. Yearn to learn. Have the hunger within you. Stay hungry and stay humble in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay hungry and stay humble in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.